Oh Lord, we thank you for this day that we can gather together and worship you in your name, hear your word, hear your truth. We ask that we make your word, God, the number one thing in our life, the rule of our life, Lord, the beacon that we follow, our North Star. And thank you for your son who gave us the best example anyone could ever have. And we just thank you for him and what he did for us, Lord. Bless this day and in your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we've been talking about healing, and we're on lesson three today, but to review lesson two from last week, a few things I highlighted. I kind of go fast through the review, but I just want us all to kind of remember where we left off. Healing is a contentious subject with different camps within the church. Some believe and receive healing today. That's the camp where I live. Some believe God can heal but don't know if he will. And some say there's no healing today. It ended with the apostles. And after last week, I did some studying, and they're called cessationists. I got that word down now
Oh, you do.
because that word comes from ceased. They believe that healing and miracles and all of the power ceased when the apostles died off. So Mike explained all that, but after I did my own research, I found like I could say the word now. So Mike had told it to me, but I studied more this week on it. Most agree that healing is very predominant in the New Testament. Like, we can agree with that. We see it. You cannot separate healing from Jesus or from salvation. We all understand salvation, but let's understand it more deeply. You can't separate healing from it. We read Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on one of the days that he was teaching. And there were sitting by Pharisees and teachers of the law who were come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was to heal them. Remember, some versions have present to heal, but that was italicized. It was added by transcribers because they didn't know, like, that doesn't sound right. But really, the power of the Lord was to heal them. Healing power wasn't just present then in that moment. It's always there. The power of the Lord is to heal. It was then, it is now, and it will be forever. Sounds just like Jesus, right? The word present has no business in that sentence. Healing is an inseparable part of the gospel and an inseparable part of the atonement. We can't just pick up bits and pieces of the atonement and expect to live the abundant life that Jesus paid for. We want the whole package that he paid for, right? If I'm going to Disneyland and I buy my kids the whole package so they could do everything, but they only want to see the main street, then they've missed a lot of it, right? We want the whole thing. We want to be able to see all of it. Maybe we don't see much healing or feel much healing, but we have to take healing by faith, just like our salvation. When you got saved, you may not have seen fruit immediately, but that doesn't make your salvation experience any less real or permanent. We receive healing the moment we receive salvation. It may take some time to see the fruits of healing in our physical flesh. Our spiritual position in Christ is that we contain the healer. The healer took up residence on the inside of us, so healing is now positioned on the inside of us. Okay, that's a big statement right there. I want you guys to remember that because we're going to go deeper into that today.
Say again.
Our spiritual position in Christ is that we contain the healer. The healer took up residence on the inside of us, so healing is now positioned on the inside of us. Evidence of sickness in our bodies doesn't diminish the fact that healing power lives on the inside of us, because the power of God was then, is now, and forever will be to heal. Okay, so let's not use our carnal eyes. What I feel or what I see, it's there. Okay, and the more we know about it, the more it's going to manifest. And healing is part of the Great Commission. And Mark, he told his disciples, go into all the, he told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will these I'm sorry. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Healing is part of Jesus' final instructions on earth. The gospel is the power of God and contains healing. That's in Romans 1:16. We read that a lot. The power of God, the gospel is the power of God. Death, burial, resurrection. Okay. Nate, question. How do we access God's promises?
Faith.
Faith. Good. It takes faith to access the promises of God. Romans 1:17, the verse right after 1:16 says, the just shall live by faith. So we accessed our salvation by faith. That's the same way we're going to access our healing. The only place healing won't be available is where?
Heaven.
Heaven.
Thanks.
Because we won't need it. We'll already be saved, healed, and delivered completely. Here on earth, healing is part of the calling of every believer to go forth and preach the gospel of power and dispense healing to people. Last week, Michael made a good point where Jesus came and said, the kingdom of heaven is here, and the kingdom of power is at hand. And he went around and then he healed people and he's showing them in the kingdom, there is no sickness, there is no lame people, there is no blindness. I'm showing you what the kingdom is like. And he went around healing people and telling them that too. So, if healing passed away with the apostles, it wouldn't be part of the Great Commission. So the cessationists have it wrong. Okay, John 10:10. We all remember that one, right? Okay. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come so that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Sickness. It kills, steals, and destroys. So sickness is from who?
The devil.
The devil. Sickness is not from God. When we understand that, we'll stop tolerating it in our body. It's a big statement right there. When you realize where sickness comes from, it's not from God. God is taking residence up in your body, so there's no room for it in your body. You got to tell it to go. As believers, we don't embrace sin, we avoid it. I mean, we do our best to. Sometimes we come up a little short, but as believers, we don't embrace it. We just avoid it. We should feel the same way about sickness. We'll try, just avoid it. Tell it, no, that's not what I'm doing. Healing is a blessing from God that has been provided for you by Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. Healing is a free gift and it's always good. It's never bad. If sickness comes your way, return it to the sender. Go back to where you came from. It ain't working up in here. Be as emphatic about resisting sickness in your body as you are about resisting sin. The same payment Jesus, it was the same payment Jesus, it bought your freedom from both sin and sickness. You want the whole package. Okay, so don't just pick and choose which ones you want. Alrighty. So that was our review. There's so much good stuff in there that I just keep making the review longer. But there's important parts to know in there. Okay. Lesson three, what Jesus came to do. Let's turn to 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8 says, He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Okay. For this purpose, the purpose of what? Because the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. So the Son of God, being Jesus, manifested, came to earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. That was what Jesus came to do, destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and that includes sickness, poverty, fear, bondage, etc. In Luke 13, we were looking at it last week. It was the lady with the infirmary where she was bent over for 18 years. So Jesus said, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years." So who bound that woman? Satan bound her, right? God didn't do that to her. Satan did that to her. And that's what Jesus came for. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. The whole question was if Jesus can heal on the Sabbath. The author of disease is never God. Satan had kept that woman bound. Regarding Jesus' sacrifice, the atonement, you cannot separate healing or prosperity from salvation. There's only one gospel, and it has the power to set us free in all of these areas. Okay, so knowing the truth. Carly and Ashley are the people who this is their study. So Carly dealt with epilepsy for many years because she believed that somehow it was God's will for her to be sick, to live with it, some kind of Christian martyr. Like, oh, this is, my cross to bear, this epilepsy that I have. And it was grand mal seizures and stuff. And they told stories about how they had to turn an airplane around because she was having one on an airplane. Okay. So back to it. She believed that somehow it was God's will for her to be sick, to live with it like some kind of Christian martyr. That is a lie. Everywhere Jesus went, he was healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and casting out demons. There was not one occurrence where Jesus did not heal someone or cause illness on anyone. Everyone who comes to Jesus leaves healed and whole. Sometimes we discount the truth in the scriptures because our own experience is more real to us than the word of God is. Can you guys understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can too.
Say it again. Say it again, sorry.
Sometimes we discount the truth in the scriptures because our experiences is more real to us than the word of God is. Like, I know what it's like to live when I can't walk very well. I know how hard it is to get through the day like that, right? So that is real to me. But I discount the scriptures because I know how real it is, right? So sometimes people do that. I can understand that. I did it too. However, as we get more into the Word of God and step away from the reality of our five senses, we will find that it is the truth that sets us free. And it's only the truth that we know. So there's truth all through that scripture, through the scriptures in that book that we need to know. And if we're not knowing them, learning them, reading them, getting to really deep down know them, we're going to miss some of this stuff. Miss parts of the whole package. So the turning point for Carly to receive her healing from epilepsy was knowledge of the truth. She finally realized that it wasn't God's will for her to be sick. So when she learned that truth, it set her free from epilepsy. She realized, no, this isn't God's will for me. And when she realized that, healing came. We must learn the truth that sickness is a work of the enemy that Jesus came to destroy. It isn't something for us to learn to live with. Okay, and if you want to read more about Carly's testimony about that, it's in a book called Miracles Made Easy. Do we have that book?
I think I do.
So some of us have that book. If you're interested, we'll let you read it, okay? If you think that God is somehow allowing sickness or causing it, you will be unable to pray and stand in faith. This thinking causes double-mindedness. It says that in James 1, 6 through 8. So if you think, hey, God gave me this sickness, how are you going to pray in faith that, that God, you're a good God and you're going to heal me from this?
Contradictory.
Yeah, you're just double-minded about it. I had a point I was going to make there, but you can't stand in faith for something if, okay, here's my point. If you think God gave you this sickness, why do you even go to the doctor for it? I mean, you would be going against God's will, right? He wanted me sick, so I guess,
What does they say?
or stay sick. So why try to fight it? Why even take prescriptions for it? Why go to the doctors to about it? If God gave it to you, you're going against his will. So that's stupid. If we just kind of think about it like that, okay. I'm sure we'll be talking about that some more. Okay, let's talk about the works of the enemy. Revelations 12, we'll be probably reading 7 through 12. So it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old. You guys remember the serpent of old? We read about it in Genesis 3. The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's what he does, deceive the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The devil's MO is deception. He needs you to believe the lie for any effects of his kingdom to manifest in your body. He deceives the whole world. Okay, that's what he's doing, deceiving people. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation. Remember, salvation is the word soteria, it means health, prosperity, deliverance, all of those things wrapped up in that package of salvation. So that's what we're talking about right here. Now, the salvation and the power was dunamis, strength, the miracle working power of God. Salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The word authority, exousia, the legal right to rule and reign. You have a legal right to healing. Okay, so let me read that all over to you again without the definitions. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Overcome the enemy. I'll get back to that part. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So why is the devil angry?
This is time short.
He knows his time is short. When I go to work and I got a day and a half's worth of work and I only have 8 hours to do it, kind of angry about it. I'm just going and going and going. And there's an anger behind my work because I'm worried and anxious that I'm not going to get it all done. Okay, so the word overcome, right, where it says they overcame him by the blood of the word, blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It means to conquer. Jesus causes us to overcome the deception of the enemy, to carry off in victory. That's what overcome means. So we overcome by what Jesus did at the cross and by what we are prepared to say about that, the word of our testimony, what we're willing to say out loud, not just think it, but to tell others about it. That's how we overcome the enemy and his attempts to deceive us. The enemy's time on earth is short, and this makes him angry. He has a limited time on earth, so he will try to deceive as many people as he can. The enemy's trying to deceive us that sickness and disease is normal, that we've deserved it, or that we have some kind of disease that takes some kind of extra faith to receive healing. That's all lies right there. It doesn't take any more faith to receive healing from cancer as from the common cold. All it takes is one person in faith, right? Jesus told us it only takes a mustard seed, something very small, right? You can move mountains with that. You can cure cancer or be healed from cancer. Faith is way more powerful than any lie of the enemy. All of the enemy's power has been stripped. The devil is real, but his weapons are fake, right? He's a real enemy, but all he has is deception. He can't do anything wrong to you except to make you believe a lie. So the truth sets you free. When you are deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You're just, your understanding is wrong, and you just don't even know you're wrong. John 8:32, it's the same verse that says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You can have some areas of revelation, but still put God in a box in other areas. So, for example, Carly had been healed of epilepsy, but when it came to their daughter Hannah, when she was sick, they didn't know that God wanted everyone healed every time. They thought God was just picking and choosing who he would heal. So that's a twist of the truth also. And so they put God in a box here, but they believed right over here is what they're trying to say. Where was it? Religion is a perpetuator of the lie that God does not want to heal, that God allows it or even causes it to teach you something. So, we can learn the wrong things even through the church, even through religion, even just wrong understanding. Satan's just not out there like using someone on the street to tell me a lie. He could bring lies to me where I thought I was hearing the truth. And it's probably the most effective way. I trust what I'm hearing here, but this what's coming to me is an actual lie. So I need to know the truth for myself. And that's what's going to set me free. So remember, very first lesson we did, God is good, right? God is all powerful, but he's not all controlling. We access everything Jesus did for us on the cross through our faith. That's the answer that Nate just gave me. So we have a good God. He's all powerful, but not all controlling. He tells us how to fight the devil, but he's not going to fight it for us. So he's telling us the truth, telling us how to walk in this and to protect ourselves, but it's up to us to actually do it because he's not all controlling. And by us doing it and believing his word and believing that word is our truth, that is us walking in faith. I believe God and his word more than anything else, and that's what I'm going to do. Oh wait, hold on. God has made his mind up regarding healing. His answer is yes every single time. Many believers are living well below the standard of abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Remember John 10, 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life does not include sickness, poverty, lack, fear, bondage, or torment. All of those are the works of the enemy. We talked about in the very beginning of the study. Use John 10:10 as your marker about where is this coming from? Is it going to give me the abundant life or is it trying to destroy me? Then you will know where it came from. The truth is, God's will is not moved by your experience. So just because we have an experience with sickness, and just because I'm struggling walking and all of these things that I was so hard to do, that doesn't change the fact that God's will is to heal every single time, and that he's a good God. That's the constant. Me being sick and not knowing the truth, that's the variable. That's what I have to get into the constant. I have to get in to know that God's word is my final word, which takes us to God's word must be the final word. This is where it's leading us to. God's word is not changed by our lack of experience of it, our lack of experience in God's word. Sometimes we evaluate our own experience or the experience of those around us above the word of God. We all understand that, right? If we go by our experience, that will become more real to us than the word of God. But then we will not see the promises of the word come to pass in our lives. How do we access God's promises, Nate?
Faith.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask again here in a second. Keep remembering. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We cannot judge the will of God by what we see or don't see happen, right? We can't, I don't see myself being ill, so it must not be God's will. You know what I mean? No, it is God's will, but I'm just judging it off by what I see or what I'm experiencing, okay? I'm the one that's got it wrong. God's will is to heal. It says it in his word, and whatever comes out of his mouth is true, and so shall it be. God's word has to be our authority. People who say, "I'll believe it when I see it," that's not the right way to look at things. That is the opposite of faith. They have to see it before they believe it, right? Okay. Believe it first, and then you will see it. We don't have Christy here to tell us the definition of faith. Does anyone else know? You're her sister. Do you know?
Being sure of what you hope for and certain
of
what you
see. Okay. Sure and certain. You guys got that? Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not. Just think about sure and certain. Is there any doubt in that? That's faith. That's what faith is. There's no doubt. It's no maybe. That's it right there. That's the truth. We're talking about we access our salvation by faith. Am I going to heaven? Absolutely, I am. You cannot talk me out of it. I am sure and certain that that is a fact. Okay? So, that how do we access God's promises? Faith, good. You're listening.
I was waiting.
Okay? So, faith, how do we access God's promises? By being sure and certain, okay, of what God's word says. Truth is the antidote to deception. If you're living at the level of your experience rather than the word of God, you must magnify the word of God until it becomes your experience. If the enemy can't keep you from being saved, he will try to keep you in captivity in these other areas. You guys hear that? Like, he couldn't stop me from being saved. I heard, I believed, and I'm certain of my salvation. But he can make me doubt God by making me sick. And, you know, and like, oh, these promises of God, they're not up to what they said. Because look at me. I mean, I'm sick. I'm barely walking around. And so that's just another tool. I couldn't stop me from salvation where all these other things are promised. But I'll get him to doubt in other areas.
And not be powerful.
Yeah.
What we're supposed to.
Raise your understanding of the truth until it becomes your experience, rather than allowing your experience to determine which truth you receive. So 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." The enemy will use Christians, doctrine inside of the church itself to deceive believers. We just talked about that a minute ago. And remember, Jesus, he didn't get angry with the prostitutes or the tax collectors or the sinners. He only rebuked the religious people who were deceiving the people, misrepresenting God. That's what angered Jesus the most. Look, we love church and the people of church. We love them, but sometimes our deception comes from the church. So how do we, so what's the answer there?
Know God's word.
Know God's word. Truth is the antidote to deception, right? Study it for yourself. Know the truth. Know God's word. Know it like I studied it. I know it now. Okay? And it doesn't matter what you're trying to tell me. God's word says this. You know, so that's how we keep ourselves from being deceived, no matter where it comes from. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. Okay, let's look at some more of this. Remember Acts 10:38, we read this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. We pointed out that Jesus of Nazareth is pointing at his humanity, not Jesus from heaven, but Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You see that? They were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Look at that last part of that sentence. For God was with him. God was with him. The healer is with us. He lives inside of us. Okay? We have the same thing that Jesus had. Jesus is now in us, just like God was with him. Sickness is an oppression of the devil, and one of Jesus' purpose was to go with the Holy Spirit and power to bust the devil's butt. That's their words. We need to get angry about the works of the enemy, because the only way he can oppress us is if we tolerate it. Okay? There's got to be part of it. I ain't taking this no more. The enemy will take passivity as permission. If you're just passive about it, it's like, well, they ain't doing nothing about it, so I guess I'm just going to live here now. This passivity will come especially when there is ignorance and deception in certain areas. For instance, thinking that God doesn't choose to heal everyone. You'll just like, well, I guess I'm not one of the chosen ones. And then you'll just be passive about it, and then you'll be living with what Satan did to you. Remember, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to actively resist, actively fight against. That's what resist means. It's not being passive. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. You cannot pray a prayer of faith if you don't believe that God's will is to heal. We just went over that talking about being double-minded, right? Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Sometimes we have to get violent in our faith and say, not today, devil, not on my watch. You know, have a righteous anger. You know, not the anger that comes from the flesh, but a righteous anger that says, no, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm fighting back. Sin is a work of the devil. 1 John 3:8 told us that sin's been around from the beginning. We read 1 John 3 in the very beginning today, so we're kind of re-referencing it. He's been around from the beginning. We understand that when we get born again, we receive Jesus' payment for our sin. However, we know that we will still sin again, right? That's the truth. We do our best to avoid it, but it still happens. Hebrews 10:10 says, by this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But every priest stands daily, ministering and repetitively offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, Since that time, he's been waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, for by one offering he has forever perfected those who are sanctified. Jesus doesn't come down to die for our sin every time we sin. It was a one-time sacrifice. Easy to understand, right? We all got that. Sickness entered the world after sin entered the world. Some sickness is just a part of the natural decay of this fallen world. So this decay that we know as death or things dying or sickness that leads us to death, that was not part of God's original plan when he made the garden. That came when sin entered the world. But the root of sickness, sin is the root. Sickness is the fruit, right? Sickness comes from sin. It's been severed. Jesus dealt with it already. So you don't have to deal with the fruit if you've already dealt with the root. Jesus also doesn't have to die every time you need healing. It was a one-time sacrifice for your healing. So the devil has no right to input sin or sickness in your life. If you have it there, it's a foreign thing that needs to go away. Saved is more than salvation. We've talked about this a lot. Acts 2:21 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever puts faith in the finished work of Jesus is a candidate for salvation. We know that. We've already studied it. That's Bible basics right there. Okay, saved is the Greek word sozo, which means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to save, to make whole, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger, destruction, injury, or peril, to have a suffering, one from disease, to restore to health. So sozo is the verb form of salvation, and soteria is the noun version of salvation, because we've been talking about soteria and salvation. Sozo is the verb of it. It's the same root meaning, sozo and soteria. Death could not hold him. Acts 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, this is when Peter received the Holy Spirit and he starts preaching to everyone. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Okay, there's a lot being said in there, but here's the part you need to focus in this verse. Jesus has defeated death on your behalf. Sickness and disease and the lies of the enemy have been crushed. So this part here where it says, whom God raised, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Death wasn't powerful enough to hold Jesus in the grave, and is the same power available on the inside of us. Death is a fruit of the sin, and Jesus and the power of Jesus is too much for that. 1 Corinthians 15:55, Paul says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" It's like Paul dunking on the devil right there. That's what the kids say, right, Nate? Wake up, right? It's a flex on the devil, right? When he says, "Where's your victory? Where's your sting at?" It's saying, "You got beat." You know, that's Paul. He's talking trash out there, pretty much to Satan. You know, you ain't so strong. Our Jesus, he conquered you. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Back to him dwelling in us. We're going to overcome these things, death and decay and sickness, all of those things as well, because he dwells in us. Just like we read about in Acts 10, where it says, you know, because God was with him, he is with us. So he now lives in us, and we have the same power as well. So we're going to keep hammering these truths home until it becomes our experience. And that is lesson three. Any discussion?
I thought it was interesting in Revelation where it talks about how the devil accuses us day and night, constantly accusing us. The way, let me see, you go back to it because it's worded really visual. Let's see. Serpent called the devil, blah, 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 he's casting with night. Okay. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night. He accuses us day and night before our God.
Never stops.
Yeah, that's it kind of feels that way. So, I mean, it makes sense, but.
He's just an accuser. It ain't the truth, though.
He's a liar.
Yeah, he's always been a liar. But he's a mentiroso.
Yeah. Father of lies.
Mm-hmm. Papa de mentiroso. I'm bilingual sometimes.
That was pretty good.
Anything else?
This week I went online and I printed out the notes from last week and I had them with me and I kept reading them at night because I'm fighting some symptoms and things in my body and it helped to just keep going over it because you got to keep hearing it because you're the one feeling it when you feel it and you're seeing out of the eyes that are how they are, you just gotta keep that word right there. And just reading those notes, you have the exact notes there that you just said, it helped so much this week. And I'm gonna go print out those too.
That's actively fighting against the devil.
Yeah.
Right there. And tell Jennifer, let everybody know, where can you access those notes at?
On our church website.
On our church website. Go to the teachings, mm-hmm. and a link to the notes are there.
You have to open up the teaching.
And what a great tool that yeah. is to have with you.
And if I could print them out, anybody can. Right? If I could access and print them out.
Well, thank you for that. That is a good way to fight against yeah. by knowing God's word mm-hmm. and reminding yourself of what it says. Because until we just hammer it in home and cement it into our lives and make it our one and all, our sure and certain truth, you know, he's going to keep trying to make us bow until.
Yeah. Or afraid. Here's yeah. another.
I guess what? Fear's
he's
next week.
I'll be
yeah. I kind of peeked ahead at next week and it's fear. Yeah. So that doesn't come from God either. Well, that's the lesson. All right, guys. Let me pray for us and we will, meet again on Wednesday. Michael will keep talking to us about Philippians. So, all righty, let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for your word and the power in it, the truth in it, Lord. This is how we're going to overcome this world. We thank you for showing us how to fight our enemy and to be free. Thank you that we can no longer be in bondage over certain things, things that makes us anxious, things that attack our soul, that attack our flesh, all because of Jesus. We love you so much. We love each other. And in your name, amen.